Checky, checky, checky. 1, 2. Yes, 2, 4, 6, 8. Who'd we appreciate? Not women, not Jews, not colored people. No! Well, except for Atham. Atham is all right. He's a pretty cool motherfucker. Wait, is Atham... No, he's not a woman. He's not a Jew. Is he a colored... Are Mexicans colored people? You know, they're not. Well, not in my mind. When I say colored people, I do actually exclude Mexicans from that. Being from Texas, where I was around both Mexicans and colored people, unlike most people who can't shut up about colored people in BLM, having actually been around these people, I view Mexicans differently. I do view them more favorably. Not that they give a shit how I view them, but I'm just saying. Hey, fuck, I missed it. Scream, shout, stuff. Yes, you can shove your opinions up your ass. That way Biden's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, my friends and my enemies, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. The Great One has not done a real podcast in a while. And so now we gotta try to fucking make up for that a little bit. Because goddamn, he's a lazy motherfucker. Actually, the Great One's been working. The Great One has this thing called a job. Unlike all these people in the manosphere, which I will be making fun of sometime in the future, because every time something happens that inspires me, maybe not inspire is the wrong word, every time something happens that results in me looking at the manosphere, I am reminded of how fucking pathetic and dead it is. Meanwhile, before we get into this, let the Great One set the stage for you. I got a podcast today. I got to do some real podcasting. And I have so much shit to cover that I want to talk about. And I got so much going on. Been busy as hell with work. I'm working on some new ideas for the website. In theory, I'm not 100% committed to this yet, but I'm looking at it and I'm thinking about it very seriously. I think I'm going to do more writing on the website, because that'll antagonize people, because they'll have to go there and then they'll complain about the fact that the background is black and the text is white. And that really seems to offend a lot of people who, I notice, don't have websites of their own or actually create anything, so I don't give a shit. But anyhow, so I got that going on. I've been thinking about that. Work has been insane. My other work, the stuff that I do for myself, I've been busy with that. And then I washed the car today. I washed my little Subaru, and 30 minutes after I washed her, it rained, because that's, of course, the European version of the rain dance. You wash your car, it rains. But it was okay, because I washed the car not so much to get her clean. Well, to get her clean, obviously. But I washed her because she had bird shit all over her, and I needed to get the bird shit off. And it had rained. It's a Great One. When it rains, the bird shit will wash off. No, it will not, because this is like industrial strength bird shit. It's rained multiple times since the birds have shit all over my precious little Subaru, and the bird shit was still there. So the bird shit was not coming off in the rain. So I had to wash her. And then, I need a drink of water. Hang on. And then on top of all this, to put me not in the most optimal mood for podcasting, we'll see how this goes today. So I talked to this chick at the gym, not the one I told you about, a different one. I talked to this other chick. I didn't tell you about this yet. Oh, dude, she is adorable. Holy fuck. But, of course, she wants to be a nurse. She wants to travel, because all of them, guys, there's no unicorns. Just want to briefly, let me briefly review for all of you out there. There are no unicorns. White women are all exactly alike, except for what they look like. She wants to be a nurse so she can travel. But on the good side, She does seem to understand debt, because she's telling me about her plan to graduate college and work at the same time and graduate with no debt. Because she said, I've seen my friends with the debt. And I don't know if she was exaggerating or not, because, I mean, God, at this point, who knows? But she told me that some of her, she knows people that are paying $80,000 in student loan debts. And she's like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm like, well, okay. So at least she's got that going, and she's hot. And she goes to the gym. And she actually, you know, like when you see chicks at the gym, I'll get around to the actual topic of today's podcast eventually, because I might tangent on this for a while. Chicks at the gym. Oh my God. Oh my God, Becky, will you look at that woman phoning it in? For those of you who go to the gym, am I not right? The women, they go and they're like lifting the lightest shit, and you can tell they're putting no effort into this. They are literally Hitler going through the motions. They are not doing a bicep curl. They are going through the motions of doing a bicep curl. And also, do you notice most women at the gym don't do any upper body shit? It's all their fucking legs, because they think they're making their ass bigger, and that making their ass bigger will make them more attractive. Sweetheart, the thing that's making your ass bigger is all those donuts, okay? And it's not becoming more attractive. It's becoming layered with cellulite. God, women at the gym, they just fucking kill me, because they're so obviously doing nothing. Now, I won't even say they're there for the attention. I think some of them are, but most of them, I don't think they're there because, oh, you know, I'm going to wear my skimpy shit and guys are going to look at me. They're literally just there to go through the motions. I think, like, for them, maybe it's their therapy, right? Like, this podcast is my therapy, and I actually need therapy today. I'll get to that story in a second. And that's part of why I'm going to do this, also because I owe you fuckers a podcast, because it's been ages. And just like you owe me cuck bucks. Did I mention Chad Elkins? Thank you to Chad Elkins. He sent me some cuck bucks like weeks ago. Chad sent me some cuck bucks. Appreciate it, Chad. And hopefully Chad is at the gym and he's lifting and he'll listen to this. And there's probably not going to be a whole lot of ranting today, Chad. So, you know, if you're trying to set a new personal max or a new, what do you call it? A new personal, what's the word I'm looking for? Record. If you're trying to set a new personal record, this may not be the podcast to try to do it. But Chad, look around you at any girls in the gym. Are any of them actually lifting anything, or are they just phoning it in? Probably they're just phoning it in. So anyhow, this girl I'm talking about, she actually, she does upper body stuff because I've seen her there a couple of times. And believe you me, I paid attention because she's cute. And she's actually doing things. She's actually lifting heavy. Like, you can see her actually working. So I'm like, all right, you know? And what was I going to say? I was going to say something else that we thought. Oh, so I asked her what was up about. So I asked her, I said, what's your sport? Because you look like an athlete. What do you play? And she's like, no, I'm not an athlete. And this was like genuine, because, you know, so again, people who are physical, who are athletes, you know, not always, but a lot of times, because they are training their body, not just sexually, which is the way I want to train her, but all jokes aside, right, because they train themselves physically, they will sort of carry themselves a different way, they'll radiate this, they'll project this athleticism. And I was getting that from her, and so and then we're talking, and then she tells me, oh, well, I used to be a dancer. And I'm like, oh, well, that's where it fucking comes from. She is a dancer, which, if you're a real dancer and you're actually putting effort into it, is the same damn thing as being an athlete. So anyhow, she actually puts the effort into it. So to get to the story, so I can get this out of the way so we can get to the actual topic of the day, I saw her today outside the gym. And man, did I fuck up. God, I was stupid. I'm not going to tell you what I did that was stupid, but I did something very, very stupid. And whatever you're imagining in your mind, it was stupider than that. So I'll tell you I was stupid, but I'm not going to tell you what I did that was stupid. So anyhow, on one hand, I'm in a bad mood because I'm pissed off at myself because I'm stupid. So it's not a good day to podcast, but at the same time, I need the fucking therapy. And I'll be stopping for lots of water breaks along the way because I'm a little bit on the dehydrated side because I've been working for the last 4 fucking days. We've been going balls to the wall and I have not had time to drink as much water as I would normally drink. And I donated blood today because I care. All right, here we go. I haven't. This is going to be kind of a slow-moving podcast, also, because I'm going to be going through this book and looking for stuff, in addition to the things that I've marked off to read. So we're talking about this book. It's called The Pleasure Trap: Mastering the Hidden Force That Undermines Health and Happiness, by Douglas J. Liesel, Ph.D., and Alan Goldhammer, D.C. Well, we know Goldhammer is a Jew. I don't know about the other guy. I didn't do that much research. Now, this book, I didn't know that. I'm trying to remember, why did I pick this book up to begin with? Somewhere that I was reading something about fasting or diet or something like that referenced, talked about this book. And so that's why I picked it up. I don't remember where that was at. So when I ordered the book through the library, I did not know that it was written by the people who run the True North Clinic. Now, the True North Clinic, and if you type True North Clinic into Google, you'll get their website. The True North Clinic, that's the fasting clinic in California that I made fun of their website on a previous episode. They're the guys who charge $600 a night for you to stay there and not eat food, and they're pricing thing says that includes free parking and all of your meals. And I made fun of it because it's like if you pay $600 a night, how is parking free? And if you're there to fast, which means not eating, what fucking meals are you talking about? And I thought, there it is. And I said, there it is. The grifters have already shown up. Now, to their credit, and this is going to be one of those podcasts where some of you may have a difficult time for this. Those of you who think that I need to either disagree with somebody all the time or agree with somebody all the time, you're going to have a real hard time today. Because these guys are right about a lot of things. They're wrong about, I would say, 2 major things. The first thing is they are pushing the vegan diet so fucking hard. My God, this is a propaganda book for veganism. I do not recommend you read this book. This book is written, it's got a lot of emotion. It's a lot of appealing to commoners. It's beneath the reading level of pretty much anyone who listens to this podcast. And the other thing is, there's not a lot of actual data in here. Which once I realized it was written by the people who do the True North Clinic, that completely changed my expectation of what the book should have been. Because they've been doing this fasting thing for however long they've been doing it, I don't know, right? So they've had all these patients in there, and the outcomes for all of these patients, I mean, they have documented this stuff. That's what they need to put into a book. And you can still push your vegan agenda, but you can do it without all this emotional shit about how people are going to die from caffeine and stuff. So let me tangent for just a second, because in the process of reading this, I looked at something on the internet, and then I looked at something else on the internet, which led to something else on the internet. By the way, everything on the internet is fake. And I found this article about how coffee is going to kill you. and it had these list of all these things about coffee. Did you know that coffee dehydrates you? I mean, is there anyone who doesn't? Once again, and this all goes back to the question I always ask. What in the fuck are kids learning in 12 years of public education? Oh my God, I was talking to a teacher. You know what she said? She said, my children can't read cursive handwriting. I can't believe that. And I thought to myself, you're their mother and you're a teacher. You're supposed to teach them to read cursive handwriting. Do you think they're just supposed to like get that from osmosis? What, they're supposed to get it on YouTube or their TikTok? They go to TikTok and learn to read cursive handwriting? You're a fucking teacher and they're your fucking kids. You're supposed to teach them to read cursive. They're in public school. They don't know how to read cursive. You mean teachers? Teachers. You mean teachers are failing to educate children with useful things? Holy fucking shit! Who knew? It's all I can do not to just fucking punch almost every woman I see in the fucking face. God damn it, they're dumb. Not that most men are any smarter. But no, I wasn't talking to the teacher though because I wanted to have sex with her. No, oh fuck no. No, she was not sexable, trust me. Okay, so, but again, does anybody learning anything in 12 years of public school other than Republicans are racist, white men are evil, and everybody should be a tranny? I mean, are they learning anything? We all know that coffee dehydrates you, right? But then there is other bullet points like coffee makes you poop or whatever. But the number one thing on the list, okay? Caffeine is poison. The reason the coffee plant has the caffeine in it is because it's an insecticide to kill insects. And I thought to myself, are there people who don't fucking know? Of course it's caffeine. That's what it is. Yes, the fucking coffee plant has the fucking caffeine to kill insects that eat it. That's its fucking defense mechanism. Are there actually people who don't know this? What the fuck have you been taught in 12 years of public education? Did you not take a fucking biology class at any point? Did you not take any kind of plant science stuff? How do you not know that the caffeine is the fucking coffee plant's fucking defense against insects eating it? Yes, it's a fucking poison. Did you not take a science class? Do you not know that there is no such thing as a poison substance? There are only toxic doses. No, nobody knows any of this. But you know what they do know? They do know that you can decide what gender you are. And they know that white people have oppressed and enslaved colored people throughout the millennia. And they know that we need a single-payer healthcare system, and they know, oh my God, did they fucking know that teachers are heroes that don't wear capes. Oh my fucking God. They don't know jack fuck about coffee. But they know that teachers who have never taught them to read cursive writing are heroes who don't wear capes and in some cases have sex with their students. You can see more of that over at Frank Servi's blog, Red Island, over at frankservi.com. I just noticed, too, Frank's got 3 episodes of his podcast out that I have not listened to, so I got to get the fuck up on that. Still listening to The Dick Show, which there'll be a story about that somewhere in this series, because I'm pretty sure this is going to take more than one podcast. There's no way in hell this will be a single podcast series. All right, so anyhow, this book is written to push the vegan agenda and manipulate people. So I am going to flip through here real quick. The Pursuit of Happiness, The Pleasure Trap. To their credit, at the end of each chapter, they put a little summary, which you could just read that and get the whole book. So, chapter 1, summing up, the biological purpose of life is survival and reproduction. Nature has created 3 incentives for us to fulfill this purpose: the pursuit of pleasure, the avoidance of pain, and the conservation of energy. Yes, I've been saying for many years, people only do things for one of 2 reasons: to avoid pain or to gain pleasure. Next chapter, summing up, in nature, certain experiences are designed to encourage successful behavior. As such, they are extremely pleasant and reinforcing. The primary sources of pleasure are food and sexual activity. Of course, in the human species, sexual activity for men, and as we can tell from their size, food for women. This is because success in these areas is necessary for survival and reproduction. Such moments are biologically expensive and thus designed only to be very short-term, minutes rather than hours. All right, we got this, modern medicine. All right, here we go. Let's get to some reading. Or wait, do I need to read this? All right, I don't think I need to read this part because I can discuss this part. So now, I said they're right about a lot of things. So they go into talking about how in... All right, hang on. I'm going to pause recording because I want to look this up real quick to see if this fits in as an example of what I'm talking about. Okay, found it. Hang on. All right. See, as soon as I unpause, I immediately start fucking choking on my throat here. All right. Not only does this support where I'm going, but it supports where I'm going, even going, if I can fucking talk today, which supports where I'm going even better than I thought it did. So this is from our friend, well, my friend, maybe not your friend, judging myself, Adam Piggott, over on his website. Because I am not a member of the Manosphere, I will put a link in my show notes, where he talks about where he had his ulcerative colitis or whatever the fuck it was, or he was sick. And if you read his book, you heard this story. Adam's talked about it. So he went to all these doctors, and the doctors all told him, well, you got to be on steroids for the rest of your life. And the guys who write this book, The Pleasure Trap, they talk about this, how our entire medical system and our way of treating sick people is entirely based around adding things. And how even we as a society... we have this notion that you solve problems by adding things. Now, I myself, of course, because I'm human, and because my voice is seriously driving me crazy today, I had to pause again and cough my lungs up. All of us, including me, to whatever degree, we all have this idea from our culture that if there is a problem, if something is wrong, right, you need to add more. Like, I'm not building muscle. Do I need to take more supplements? You know, I'm sick. Do I need to take a pill? Do I need to take more vitamins? I forgot to take my vitamins today. It's fine. you know, there's something wrong in my life. What do I mean? A lot of people, oh, my life sucks. I need to add a girlfriend, right? Which I'm not opposed to having a girlfriend. As I've said before, though, a girlfriend doesn't solve any problems. She just creates new problems. But we look at the world and we look at our problems. We look at what's wrong, what's broken, whatever. We always say, oh, I got to add something. It's always about adding, especially with health, right? I'm not healthy. I got to add something. My blood pressure is too high. I got to take medication for my blood pressure. And as the authors point out, many times what you need to be doing is subtracting, not adding. I'm somewhat, what's the word? Somewhat immune to this, partially just because of my theater experience where we have the saying less is more, and where you understand, it's understood that sometimes you subtract. And also because while I am not much of a writer, which is absolutely true, I wish I was, I am pretty fucking good at editing. Because you know what editing is? It's subtracting shit. You give me something you wrote, I can edit the fuck out of it. So I think, in my opinion, a little bit better at recognizing the value of subtracting things from life than most people are. Anyhow, Adam in his post over here, he talks about, where's my fucking mouse cursor? Right, so finally he went to a doctor. And he says here, this doctor came to the conclusion that my disease had been caused by three major factors in my lifestyle. Too many antibiotics as a teenager, too much stress from work, and this is the real bonus I'd forgotten all about that feeds my point on all of this, and a vegetarian diet, which I'd been following for about 3 years at that point. He prescribed me some weird-tasting gunk a local pharmacist made up for me. Don't ask me what it was, as I don't know. But the main changes he prescribed were diet-based. No more veggio. High protein, high fat, low carb diet. No tinned foods. Fresh vegetables only. Lots of meat and fish. All good quality. No processed food. Absolutely no junk food. Avoid irritants such as coffee and alcohol. He didn't prescribe me any drugs. He advised me to stay away from them, as well as any form of vitamin supplements and the like. A few weeks after beginning this regimen, I had my first regular bowel movement in a very long time. I eventually went back to coffee and alcohol with no ill effects. I have stayed away from processed foods, and I have only had a repeat of the issue, which lasted a few days, once. And there you go. What have I been telling you guys? And by the way, I'm right. I got more books here to talk about. I've seen more and more evidence that everything I said was right. Now, granted, I didn't come up with this on my own. I came up with this from piecing other stuff together. I'm not taking credit for the research or for even an original idea, but I've processed the data and I have come to what is the correct conclusion. Single ingredient food, thus, as Adam says here, no processed food, no junk food, right? Fresh vegetables only, nothing in a can, nothing in a box, single ingredient food, lots of meat. All the books I have read, other than this one and the other fasting book, both of which are pushing the vegan diet really hard, everything else I have read is completely in alignment with single ingredient food, lots of meat. And this is the biggest problem with this book, is that they're right about so much, but they can't let go of the vegan fantasy. They just can't give it up. They're so dedicated to that vegan. They're so dedicated to it that in spite of all the evidence to the contrary, they can't let go of it. They just got to cling to it. All right, so anyhow, our way of approaching healthcare in Western civilization is broken because we look at everything, somebody's sick, what do we add to it? Now, beyond that, they go on to talk about how, when it comes to how we have created a incorrect understanding of, how do I phrase this? All right, let me just give you the example because I don't actually know how to phrase this. When somebody gets sick, they get a fever. Okay, so then what is the first response of healthcare providers? Well, we got to get the fever down. Why do we got to get the fever down? Because when we get the fever down, they'll get better. Because what's been observed, right, is people, they have a fever and they're sick, and then the fever goes down and they get well. And so people who will tell you about things like correlation doesn't equal causation and other stupid shit because they don't understand reality, the dumb people think that the fever went down, or the fever going down is what makes the person healthy. Or the diarrhea going away is what makes the person healthy. Or the vomiting going away makes the person healthy. Or the inflammation going away makes the person healthy. And thus, our medical system is based on, or our medical ideology, it is an ideology, it is a religion. Our medical religion is based on treat the symptom, right? So this person has a fever. Well, how do we make them healthy? Well, we get the fever down. Because when the fever goes down, now we've cured them. And as the authors point out, that's not how it fucking works. Once again, I don't know why hopefully, which is not a process, I'm not explaining anything to you that you don't already know. Once again, the big question here is, how do kids make it out of 12 years of public education without knowing what I'm about to explain to a bunch of people who already know this? When your body heats itself up deliberately with what we call a fever, your body is doing that as part of the regimen of killing an infection. It's heating the body up to kill the invading substance. And so when some dumbass doctor comes along and reduces your body temperature, thinking that if he gets your fever down, you're going to be cured, he's actually fucking making it worse. Because the human body, which once again, this is one of those moments, I don't give a shit if you believe in God or evolution. Either God made the body to fucking work, or evolution over time has evolved a body that fucking works. Your body elevates its own temperature when it's sick for a fucking reason. Right? When you get diarrhea, it's because you ate something you shouldn't ate. Your body's trying to fucking get it out of you. So if your doctor's giving you medication to try to stop you from shitting mud, it's like, dumbass, your body is shitting the mud because there's something in there it needs to get rid of. Same thing with vomiting. Inflammation is part of fighting the infection. We have to reduce the inflammation. No, dumbass. But our medical ideology / religion is still based entirely around adding things, medication, which of course, pharmaceutical. Do we need to mention profit? I mean, do I need to explain? All right, let me line up. Let me explain to you about pharmaceutical corporations. I'm not going to insult your intelligence by going there. All right, but our entire medical ideology / religion is entirely based around adding something to the problem and treating the symptoms. And shock, people are fucking sicker than ever. So they go through that and they explain all that. And again, like this book is really good for stupid people because this is written in a way that is sufficiently emotional to appeal to morons. All right, so now we got a little sidebar here. I do want to read this to you. The truth about two medical miracles. The treatment of breast cancer and heart disease are touted as prime examples of the wonders of modern medicine. By the way, oh my God, I have so much I want to talk about. I heard something on the Dick Show and I looked it up and I almost lost my mind. Now, I don't know if you knew this or not. There, on the long list of groups of people that the Great One hates, there's this group of people called boomers. And just when I think it's impossible for me to hate the boomers more, once again, the Great One is proven wrong. Oh boy, if I had a dollar for every time I've been proven wrong about how much I can hate the boomers, I would have probably close to $300. Oh God, do I fucking hate the boomers. Oh God. All right, anyway. Oh. The treatment of breast cancer and heart disease are touted as prime examples of the wonders of modern medicine. In fact, modern medicine treatment has repeatedly been shown to have surprisingly little effect. The impact of a treatment can be measured by how strongly the treatment correlates to increased longevity. It is assumed by both doctors and patients alike that heroic and complicated treatments such as chemotherapy for breast cancer and bypass surgery for heart disease are highly correlated with increased survival. However, results have firmly contradicted these assumptions. The effect size of a given mode of treatment can be measured by what is known as the correlation coefficient, a number that describes the degree of treatment effectiveness. A correlation is the correlation is signified in statistical text as lowercase r. Correlations for treatment effectiveness can range from R equals 0.00, not effective whatsoever, to R equals 1.00, a perfect correlation indicating that everyone is much better off with treatment rather than without treatment. A correlation of R equals 0.50 would mean the treatment had very impressive effects. A correlation of R equals 0.30 would mean that the treatment was somewhat important. A correlation of R equals 0.10 would mean the treatment was only weakly associated with an increased survival. The treatment of breast cancer with chemotherapy, and by the way, they do have footnotes to their sources if you want to look any of this up. So they, unlike some of these books, they did include references for the studies, or at least most of the studies they cite. The treatment of breast cancer with chemotherapy, remember, titty, right? Killer titties, breast cancer, you know, I'm man enough to wear pink. God, if women could just shut the fuck up about titty cancer. God, I'm so fucking sick. I'm so sick of hearing about it. The treatment of breast cancer, it's a giant money-making scam. Guys, do I need to explain that the whole breast cancer thing is just grifting? Do I need to explain that to anyone listening to this podcast? I'm going to assume that everybody said no. The treatment of breast cancer with chemotherapy has been shown to have a survival correlation of considerably less than R equals 0.10. In fact, a review published in the New England Journal of Medicine, the correlation was found to be R equals 0.03. The results for coronary bypass surgery are similarly unimpressive. In a statistical review published by The Lancet, the correlation between bypass surgery and survival at 5 years post-operation was a most disappointing R equals 0.08. So that's what we're throwing all that money into, is for a fucking correlation of 0.03 for titty cancer and 0.08 for bypass surgery. All right, they do their sum up. They're taking action. Ask your physician if any prescribed medication is primarily for pain relief or health promotion. Insist on an explanation of your illness and the rationale for the suggested treatment. I mean, this is good advice. Again, these guys are idiots on the vegan thing, but a lot of the other shit in this book is dead on. Ask for the risk-reward rationale for treatment versus no treatment. Consider carefully the fact that many unpleasant symptoms are part of an exquisite guidance system. When you risk disrupting, should pain-relieving medications be used? Yes, in other words, the medications are fucking up your body trying to fix itself. Number three, if a medical procedure is recommended, always seek at least one or more independent opinions. Remember, it's your life. You, not your doctor, has to live with the outcome. This is good advice. All right, then we go to the evolution of diet. Now we're talking about the Industrial Revolution. And now we're talking about, oh my God, people started eating animals and now they're going to die. The proper diet for humans consists predominantly of fresh fruits. No, it doesn't, because the fruit we have today has been engineered by selective breeding to be the fruit that it is. I can't tell you about like apples, but you know, 100,000 years ago or less, okay, bananas that have not been selectively bred by humans do not look or taste like the bananas you get at the grocery store, nor do oranges. So a lot of these fruits did not exist when humans were evolving, nor did they exist when God created the Garden of Eden and put Adam and Eve there, okay? So again, I don't give a shit which origin story for humans you believe. The yellow banana that you buy at the grocery store did not exist 10,000 years ago. It didn't. So it is not the proper human for diets. The proper human for diets consists predominantly of fresh fruits. No, it doesn't. Vegetables, yes. Whole grains. No, when humans were evolving, they did not have bagel shops. When God created the Garden of Eden, he did not create Adam, Eve, and a bagel shop. Nobody was eating bread. There was no bread in the Garden of Eden. There was no bread when humans were evolving. Whole grains are not edible by humans without the crushing and the grinding and all this other shit. Vegetables, yes. Grains? No. The proper diet for humans consists predominantly of fresh fruits. No. Vegetables? Yes. Whole grains? No. Beans? I honestly don't know enough about beans. I don't know. Like 10,000 years ago. Well, that's not 100,000 years ago. 20,000 years ago, were people eating beans? Peas? Probably. Beans, I don't know about that one. Okay. Nuts. All right, nuts. Yeah, I can see that. And seeds. Yeah. And the thing they neglected, meat. Once again, guys, meat. Have you heard of, I don't know, Africa? Did you know there's a whole bunch of people? And well, for the purpose of this discussion, we'll pretend that colored people are people. Did you know there's a bunch of people living in Africa who eat a fuck ton of meat? And do you notice that when European explorers went down to Africa, you know, to carve the country up and colonize it and exploit, do you notice that when the evil white people from the 13 colonies sailed over to Africa, you know, to voyage inland and capture these black people, right, who have been living there for thousands and thousands of years and know the territory and can fucking throw a spear with precision and have killed lions and tigers and elephants and have engaged in warfare against other tribes and, you know, who are pretty fucking fearless warriors to a large extent. Zulus, anybody? Whipping the shit out of the British Army? Okay, pretty fucking tough goddamn customers. You notice when this handful of white people sailed over there to capture these pretty fucking intense warriors, do you notice how they didn't find any black people who were fat and diabetic? Right, you look at all the slaves, you look at the pictures that exist. Do you see any fat slaves? Did they bring back any fat black people from Africa? No. You know why? Because number one, they didn't eat processed food. Number two, they ate single ingredient food. Number three, they ate a fuck ton of meat. They're a hunter. That's what the spear is not for gathering vegetables. Hey, anybody heard of Eskimos? What fucking vegetables and beans are Eskimos eating? You know, this whole vegan thing, this vegan thing is entirely for Asians and fucking white people. American Indians. Buffalo is not vegan. American Indians, until white people came over here and gave them alcohol and sugar and processed food, you look at the pictures taken when the evil white people are expanding in the West, right? And they encountered the American Indians. Look at the pictures that are taken of the American Indians. Do you see any fat American Indians? No, you fucking don't. You know why? Because they ate a diet of food that had a single ingredient and had a fuck ton of meat. This whole fucking vegan shit. This is fucking white people. This is white people out of control. This is white people who need to have the fucking shit slapped out of them. This is, and these, you know, well, the science. Once again, how does your science explain Eskimos? Do you see any fat diabetic Eskimos? I mean, again, nowadays there probably are some because they're probably buying processed food. But fuck, this just absolute fucking inability to look at reality, which is right fucking there in front of you. Because their vegan agenda, they've got to fucking push this vegan agenda. And the book has the whole thing about how eating meat is destroying the planet and all this other shit, you know, which as has been pointed out by many people, including me and people smarter than me, if we shut down all the fucking fields for agriculture and we just let the grass grow and let the cows eat the grass and then eat the cows, this would solve a lot of these problems. But, oh no, we need more agriculture. Oh, so we got to fucking knock down more forest and make more trees. Well, we're going to grow the crops in hydroponics. I mean, who in the fuck thinks you're going to have enough hydroponics to feed all the people on the planet Earth? And of course, the Earth is overpopulated, right? But so what's the response? Well, we got to bring more people from third world countries to the United States and then pay them to make babies because the world is overpopulated. And first world countries, well, they eat more food than anyone else. So let's bring more people to first world countries, have them make babies, and that'll make the problem better, right? It's like, if you're so dedicated to overpopulation, shouldn't we be sterilizing people instead of encouraging them to reproduce? Anyhow, I'm preaching to the choir. I know that you guys all fucking understand all of these contradictions that I'm saying. What am I reading on this page? And how much time do I have? Not much. Real culprits. The real culprits in modern day health problems are excesses, not deficiencies. I agree with that. It is the subtraction of these excesses that will solve most of the problems, not the addition of medications or supplements. They are correct. Not surprisingly, the subtraction of excess is nearly always more effective at restoring health than the addition of anything, be it dietary supplements or medications. Then we go on our little attack about, meat. All right, so now, just all in the interest of reading what they've written here and being intellectually honest, because I can do that because I have an agenda. My agenda is correct. My agenda is factually right. Theirs is factually wrong. The dangers of a high-fat, high-animal product diet with respect to cardiovascular disease have been made apparent by epidemiological studies such as the Framingham Heart Study, directed for more than 20 years by William Casale, MD. Casale and his colleagues have documented the critical importance of dietary choices in disease prevention. While more than one in four men in the study who consumed a conventional diet succumbed to a heart attack, those who consumed a plant-based diet were extremely well protected. This is not surprising, as vegan vegetarians have cholesterol levels that are 35% lower than non-vegetarians. Dr. Castelli has reported that in 35 years of the Framingham study, no subject with a cholesterol level under 150 ever suffered a heart attack. There are references to this. Controlling dietary excesses is clearly the key to preventing cardiovascular disease. They are both right and they are wrong. Did any of you guys happen to pick up, as I read that, the flaw in all of this? Because you see, and this is what we'll talk about when we start off the next episode, unless I tangent about some other stuff first. See, for all of the studies that have been conducted, there's one study that needs to be conducted that, as far as I know, has not been conducted. There are some certain conditions that need to be tested and will give us more. They will not prove anything, because you don't prove things in science. You support a thesis or you disprove a thesis, but you don't prove anything, right? There's no Wuhan hope. There's no Wuhan, okay? You don't prove stuff. So anyhow, you mull over what I read right there. See if you can figure out the flaw. And we'll talk about that in the next episode. I'm always right. You're welcome.